Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, looking to nature for discoveries in food, feed, and fuel. ADM, resourceful by nature.
In less than a week, USDA will release the Planet Acreage Report. What will it show? And how should farmers prepare themselves for the potential fallout? We'll find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in the half hour, we'll talk with Lawrence Kane of the Stewart Peterson Group. Our panelists today are Mike Georgi of Allendale out of Mahomet, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Let's open today's discussion with this question. Let's say the corn crop continues to look good right through June and July, and that the USDA numbers next week are consistent with the 79 to 80 million acres most of the trade seems to think is in the ground. What happens to the cash market? Does it fall apart like last year, even prior to Katrina? And we'll start with you, Wayne Nelson.
Well, I think, Todd, that there is a lot of old corn that does need to be moved, and I think that we will see probably some basis deterioration. We will probably fall down. But as far as a total collapse, no, there's still just too much anticipation as to ethanol usage and what's going on. Now, we can take a dip from here, but not a total collapse.
Mike Georgi, do you think that if things stay together all season through June and July, the market will fall out of bed if we have a normal crop?
No, I agree with Wayne. I think we've got the possibility of the ethanol demand. We've got the outside markets that are supporting us. And I don't feel we're going to have a full collapse, no.
And Wyatt Muse of the Andersons, the question is, when we get through June and July, if we have a USDA report that shows 79 to 80 million acres and the crop is looking good, what happens to the cash market?
I could see the cash crop hanging on a little bit just because basis has been snapping back greatly lately. As far as futures go, I could see them continuing to sell off a little bit, but it just seems like there's a lot of support out there for people looking to buy, speculative, just people playing the market, and also the big money in the funds.
Here's an excerpt from Darrell Good's Weekly Outlook column. It was released earlier this week. He writes, as related to the trade, just after March 31st, planting intention report, he says, was the brief period of higher corn prices relative to soybean prices enough to encourage a change in planting intentions? And or did producers respond to the improving demand situation independently of those price signals? And he goes on, did spring wheat producers respond to the sharp rally in prices that occurred in the planting season? And private forecasts, he says, suggest that producers responded in a big way, with expectations that the June acreage report should show maybe 2.5 million acres more of corn, 2 million few acres of soybeans, than reported in March. And he says that the market seems to agree with that. At the close of trade on the 16th of June, November soybean futures price was 2.4 times the December 2006 corn futures price. Now, such a shift, he says, would be large by historic standards since 1996. And here's the important part. The largest increase in corn acreage from March to June was 1.964 million in 2004. That's for corn. The largest decline in soybean acreage from March to June during that same time frame was 1.241 million. That happened back in 2001. Private sources also suggest that the spring wheat acreage will exceed intention. So the question is the same. Did the brief period of higher corn prices after the March 31st report really result in a record-breaking change in corn acreage?
Well, I think it could possibly happen. I mean, Allendale thinks we could have a 1.6 increase. I think it's going to depend on the numbers that the producers do turn in. I think it's possible, but I don't think it's going to be a record change, no.
It's all going to depend on what we see out of the Dakotas, the Minnesota area. It seems like the biggest increase was coming out there, and we'll see next Friday. But I have a feeling that we could push that record number.
By the way, corn futures finished the week like this. The high at 235, the low at 227 and three quarters. Their settlement price, $2.28 and a quarter. They were off 7 and a quarter from last week. The December contract at 255 and a quarter was down 6. So, Wayne, here's one I picked up from our weekend newsletter, which, by the way, you can subscribe to at WILLAG.org. Our own Dave Dickey dug up some information that suggests the commercials are short the market, and they're the ones that sold the corn to the funds. Does this have any implication beyond the March timeframe? So big crop, low price through the winter months?
Well, and generally, Todd, the funds end up being wrong and the commercials end up being right. So I guess you can say that could be one thing we could look at here. But the commercials are short a lot of times because they're hedges and honest hedges out there. And they have bought some corn and have got it covered that way.
As you take a look at what's been happening around the Andersons and the amount of corn that is available in the elevator, what's available also in the bin, do you see the June-July time frame as a tough period again this year or not?
I don't see a lot of grain moving corn-wise in June-July. I have a feeling that most of the people that are hanging on to corn right now are going to be willing to carry it on through into the fall and beyond. I'd say the biggest movement we're going to be seeing in the next 2 months is in beans. I was just looking earlier this week about beans still under loan, and in the three-county area right around the Andersons, there's right at 1 million bushels of beans under loan, and a good majority of that are going to come out in July, August.
And they're under loan. I saw that LDP is actually you mentioned loan. LDP is playing a role actually in the bean market in parts of Iowa, Minnesota. I believe they also have a corn LDP at this point, too.
That's not surprising. I haven't checked the Iowa numbers. I know here in Champaign County, we got about a dime away from a soybean LDP not too long ago.
What's Allendale saying about summer months for the corn market?
Well, I think we're saying the possibility of the hot and dry weather. We got the possibility of, I think the pollination is going to be later in July, so it's going to depend if we get into that 100-degree temperature during pollination. So we're not guaranteed a bumper crop in corn by any means at this point.
What kind of expectations do you – I'm sorry. What is it that you're looking for in the way of a cash strategy this fall for producers?
Well, I think the cash strategy is basically to what we're doing is hold on to the cash and wait for the basis to tighten up and do some downside protection until you can get that taken care of.
You're nodding your head in agreement.
Yeah, I'm with you. Basis has been coming back greatly, mostly on export demand. The feeder market has been fairly flat, but we've seen amazing basis pop here in the past 2 weeks on our CN rail going down to the Gulf. Our corn bid is 7 cents better than it was 2 weeks ago. We were 15 under the July, and today we're 8 under. And the beans have gained 5 cents in 10 days, so I'd say hang on at this point.
Dwayne, the export inspection figures were really good this past week for corn. That give you some idea that the corn market has more upside potential than it does downside?
Well, it tells you that we're keeping moving, that China is not out there as a competitor. And at lower levels, we have people that are more than willing to want to buy some corn right now. It is, as we look at that, and we do produce some ethanol or put some ethanol factor producing areas in the Chinese area. Looking that way, it looks like they're going to stay out of it. And also, as we look, as all the plants that we have under construction are being built, people are just very enthusiastic about the energy aspect of the whole thing.
I'm going to poll all of you. What do you think the difference between the fall numbers for corn and spring numbers for corn might be? So how much of an ethanol pop will we see in the marketplace?
Are we talking about basis?
Futures prices.
Okay, you're talking about from now until this upcoming fall?
From this fall until spring of next year. So I'm looking at the crop, and is it going to pay to store? And what do you think? I mean, there's just an awful lot of pent-up expectations, it seems to me, that the price of corn when we get to next spring will really move sharply higher. But I'm not sure what you consider sharply higher from 250. Is that 280? Is it $3, 305, 310?
Well, I can't peg exactly how high that will be, and a lot of that's going to depend on how our export demand hangs on. But I think that, you know, through this winter and into the spring season, we can see an increase in corn prices, especially into the DSO 7. There's going to be a lot of ethanol plants coming online just prior to fall 07 harvest. So I think there's going to be a lot of concern there, especially if we end up with an average to short crop this year and hang on to good exports. I think there'll be a big premium.
Well, I think that's right. I think the potential for next spring to be higher than now is probably very good because, you know, we still have the potential of how much we're going to produce. We have ethanol production, and the bottom line is that the U.S. has a lot of corn, but the world doesn't. So the export numbers could very well stay strong and raise the demand for our corn.
It all says that farmers need to find a way to hang on to their cash corn then.
Yes.
Whether they store it in the elevator, store it in their bins, or put it on the ground in some form. Right?
I would say yes.
If everybody believes that, Todd, it's probably not right.
Well, that may be.
That's the other side.
That may be the case.
One thing to mention, Todd, and I do agree with Wayne, because if you just hang on to it and don't price it, you're definitely at risk. But if you sell the carry now, it definitely pays to build a bin or use your own on-farm storage.
All right. Tell me about the bean market. July futures, a 595 and a half high this week. Low at 579 and three quarters. They were off 19 and three quarters for the week at $5.80 and a half cents in the July. November beans at 606 and a half were down 20 and a half cents. Is there more downward movement in this market, Wayne?
Well, I'll tell you what, Todd. I thought there's been downward movement in this market that we haven't exercise for quite a while. They've hung on tremendously through all this. And, you know, we just continue to see the beans hang in there even better than the corn did over this past week. I think that there is potential for that as we get along in the growing season, as long as we don't hear the word rust and as long as the weather stays the way it has. You know, right now we're talking for cool weather next week. What if it turns hot and it's still very dry?
I think that's exactly right. I mean, you know, with the beans, we have a lot of beans out there, but even if we decrease the acres by 2 million, we still have the probability of producing a good crop with good ending stocks that could push the market down. But if you have any weather problems, rust, anything that is bullish to the market, they could go right back up.
Wyatt, the Andersons have been looking at biofuels. I know they're into ethanol. There could be a biodiesel plant in Danville. They're working on that at this point. Not from the Andersons, but they are working on a plant there through Bunge. Louis Dreyfus, I think, is putting a big one up in Indiana at this point. How do you view the bean market as with its potential as a fuel market, and how does it differ from that in the corn, or if it does?
Well, I think it is a good potential market. We just have to make sure there's appropriate demand for the soybean meal. We can't just focus only on the oil. But with this new wave and new interest of biofuel coming on, I can see that the oil is going to be worth a larger portion of the share than the soybean meal is. So it's going to be real interesting in the next year to 3 years, really, of where the DDG from the ethanol is going to go. And with an increase in biofuel from soybeans, where the soybean meal is going to go.
We could be buried in a lot of byproducts.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays into the cattle market and to see where these feeders are going to pop up and, you know, if there is potential for new life in the livestock industry in Illinois.
Speaking of livestock, we'll run through those numbers in just a moment. Wheat futures had a high this week of 374 and three quarters in the July, the low at 356 and a half. Their settlement price up 4.5 cents at 363 and a half. The SEPs at 381 and a half were up 4 3/4. And the July oats at 202 were 5.5 cents higher for the week. Now the livestock. June live cattle this week, 83.10 on the high, the low at 81.25. Their settlement price at $82.87.5. They were up $1.22.5 for the week. And the August feeders at $115.15 were up $2.57.5 on Friday afternoon. USDA released the June cattle on feed report. On feed as of June the 1st at 104%, placed at 86%. And marketed at 109%. These numbers should be fairly good for the Monday morning opening, I would think. Is that right?
I think that's right. I think they're calling the Monday morning opening to be 50 to a dollar higher. I guess we have to wonder how much of this has already been in the market with the big rise this week. But right now it looks like a pretty bullish report.
Anything? Anything else to add on the livestock market and the cattle on feed numbers as we looked at them?
Well, the hogs also had a very good week, Todd, and the hog index continued to climb. We saw continued fund covering there. So looks like the meat markets are doing quite well.
Now, one final question back to the grains. Is the low in the wheat for the harvest in, do you think?
That's a good question. I think the wheat market depends on exports. If you can keep the export market going and the demand for this freshly harvested crop there, I think there's nothing but upside left.
The old rule is, Todd, after 50% of harvest in a very short year, we've hit the bottom. We're past 50%, and we got a short crop.
In about 3 minutes, we'll talk with Lawrence Kane of the Stewart Peterson Group. Now, here's our station manager, Jay Pierce, with an important message about how programming on this station is paid for.
I would like to thank you for making WILL your trusted source for agricultural programming. It is no secret that this kind of information isn't as readily available on the radio as it once was. And the only reason that we're able to sustain it is because of listener contributions. Almost half the money it takes to run this radio station must come from listeners now. We raise that money in advance so we can plan for the new fiscal year. And with a new one beginning a week from today, that means we have less than a week to reach our listener support goal. If we don't reach it, we're going to have to adjust our plans for fiscal year 07. And frankly, I don't want to have to do that. And I don't think you want us to either. So make sure our service to you remains strong. Call 217-244-9455 or go to willpledge.org on the Internet and help us raise that $95,000 that we have left so we can continue to provide the service you depend on us for. Does your $100 really mean that much in the grand scheme of things? Well, yes, it does, because if everybody does their part, we'll make some great things happen. But if you think you don't have to contribute because somebody else will anyway, what happens if they don't? What happens if we don't meet our goal? Let's not find out. Call 217-244-9455 now and let us know that our investment in ag programming is important to you. Thank you.
Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu. Click on AM and then on Agriculture.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Typical Midwest summer weather greeted the summer solstice this week. Temperatures soared into the 90s, dew points rose into the 70s, and an oscillating front triggered showers and thunderstorms across the state. Although many areas of the state received rain this week, there are still some areas that could use some good rain. Southern Illinois is in the best shape right now, with June rainfall near to above normal for most of the area south of Interstate 70. Northwestern Illinois also received significant rainfall this week. The central third of the state is still on the dry side, although there were scattered showers and thunderstorms that dropped some significant rainfall. Severe storms produced some wind damage and dropped some large hail. Temperatures this week averaged 2 to 3 degrees above normal, with Wednesday being the warmest day of the week. High temps on Wednesday reached the low and mid-90s across central and southern Illinois, south of the weak cold front. Cooler and less humid air will spill into Illinois for the weekend. An upper-level wave diving into the Midwest on Sunday could have set off some showers and thunderstorms late Sunday into Monday. A second disturbance on Wednesday will bring another chance for showers and thunderstorms to Illinois, and rain chances will likely linger into next weekend. Temperatures next week should average near normal. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Commodity Week. This is WILL Urbana. It's a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Our panelists today are Wyatt Muse of the Andersons here in Champaign, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, and Mike Georgie of Allendale. He's from Mahomet, Illinois. Joining us now is Market Advisor Lawrence Kane. Lawrence runs a branch office of Stewart Peterson Group out of Elmwood. He's been with Stewart Peterson for over a dozen years. Lawrence, thanks for stopping by today. We appreciate it.
Not a problem.
Tell me how crop conditions in your area differ today from 1 year ago.
not all that much. Crops a year ago still look good at this time. Our crops look good. One of the things that seems to be happening at this point is that I don't think that we will tassel quite as early as we normally do in this local area. We seem to be just a little bit, past couple of years we've been really early on planting corn. This year, guys, we're a little more conservative, and that has pushed the tasseling window, I think, back a little more than normal.
I would say crop conditions in the Champaign area are spotty, but actually this morning I went out and took some photographs with a yardstick, and 1 year ago today I did in the same field right in front of the elevator, and it's corn on corn, and as of yesterday I was saying, well, it's definitely behind. The sweet corn hadn't tasseled yet, and I got out there this morning and it had begun to tassel. And the field corn is still a ways from tasseling, but was within 2 inches of the same height. Now, I know there's a lot of variation because I've seen corn that's shoulder high, and I've seen some that's waist high. So it just depends how early or late it got planted around here.
I think the big question I have, and I think most people have, is this bean market. What's your feeling as far as why is it staying at the prices, and why are we not down at $5.50 or under $6 at least?
I think part of that goes down to the Southern Hemisphere. I think there is an effort not to drive prices so low that financial conditions in Brazil are tenuous at best, and I think it's sort of an effort by the market to get another year's worth of production out of some of those Brazilian producers. Which, if we take beans down the 50 or 60 cents I think we all were expecting them to do last fall, their financial condition would be, they'd basically be out of business.
Yes.
And I think the world is trying to protect its supply.
Would that be a bad thing for the U.S. farmer, for the Brazilians to be out of business down there?
Well, I don't want to start an international incident.
No, along with that, then let's go back to something we can talk about really here. With the situation being that we are higher than what we think the world says is the price that it should be, what should farmers be doing about pricing beans?
I use the winter rallies in that 630 to 650 area to be fairly aggressive on pricing earlier this winter. Been pretty aggressive on buying put options and selling some call options at that same time period, just because the fundamentals looked like we were headed for a train wreck. They still look like good prices. It still looks like a good strategy. And I think if you're behind on that, I still think that this is a good year for options. There's a lot of volatility in the world. There's a lot of promise of things working higher. There's still a lot of risk of things working sharply lower.
As far as this corn market, do you think producers need to be starting to take advantage of the deferred months? D8 corn, 61 cents higher on the year, in the 320 range. Do you think that's too far out, or is it a chance to get started?
I think it's a chance to get started. I don't think normal yield those kind of prices should make you some reasonable profits, government programs or not. I think one of the things you guys were talking about, what to do with the fall crop, I was looking at the carry from July to July, it's 56 cents. It's pretty easy to justify even commercial storage on that kind of a carry if you don't know what to do with your crop that you still have.
I'd like to go back before we get another question for you, Lawrence, and just poll everybody on what they think of 07 and 08 sales in corn, in particular of 08 at this point.
Oh, I think this year I've had more of my customers hedging or hedging the 2007 and 08 crop than I've ever had, and they feel that, if this is their worst sale, it's not going to be a bad sale.
07, some, 08, none.
I think you should be selling 5 bushels to the acre out into the 08 and a little bit more aggressive into the 07, just because it's not every day we see this prices, and if you look at the history, it looks attractive.
What do you see as pitfalls as we go through the summer months for the corn market, Lawrence?
I guess, you know, the big issue will be the carryover of old crop. Basis levels, I think, are going to be are going to widen back out again if the crop gets looking like it's going to be a normal or above normal crop, and that's certainly going to discourage a lot of producers. Between basis improvement and carry in the market, I think there is opportunity longer term. This looks like it's a demand market that's slowly, you know, there's nothing exciting about a demand market. It just sort of gets rolling and then sort of keeps going. And I think, you know, China is increasing industrial usage of corn, sort of like we are, by 25%, which comes out to, I think, 6 or 7 million metric tons of corn for them. That's about what they've been exporting the last 4 or 5 years, and so far their production levels are not jumping up to let them stay in the export market.
And what are Stuart Peterson's numbers for the acreage report next week?
We're pretty much in line with them. You know, we're sort of in that 79 to 80 million bracket. We think USDA was a little extreme. Producers were really discouraged when the USDA took the survey, and I think they voiced their displeasure with prices of both corn and price of nitrogen at that time, and price of corn certainly shifted, and so I think they shifted their attitudes too.
Is with the numbers that there could come out with next week of possibly over 2 million, do you think if we switch from this 10.5 production to over an 11 billion, is that going to put a bottom in the market, or are we looking at 220 or 230 corn again? Futures price.
You're talking December, I assume, there?
Yeah.
There's a chance of that. I think, you know, on the world side again, I forget which one of you gentlemen made the comment on tight world numbers. They're going to get a little tighter in the next monthly supply and demand report because over the past month, USDA lowered Argentina's corn production by 3 million metric tons. So the world certainly has a big demand appetite for corn, and so we might take a short dip, but the big trick is not to panic on it.
Lawrence, we appreciate you being with us today.
Not a problem.
Lawrence Kane is with the Stuart Peterson Group. He's stationed in their Elmwood, Illinois office. That's not too terribly far outside of Peoria. And now a final word from our panelist. We'll start with you, Wyatt Muse of the Andersons.
Just keep in mind for our producers out there that even with the recent sell-off, December corn futures are still 22 cents above the 10-year average, so don't think we're too far into the doldrums yet.
And Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities?
A lot of time, a lot of weather, and a lot of price movement yet to come.
And Mike Georgie of Allendale?
I'd have to ditto that one. Protect your downside and hope it goes up.
That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is WILLAG.org. There you'll find Commodity Week, weekly analysis, cash grain reports, weather, and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers. You have a good week. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, looking to nature for discoveries in food, feed, and fuel. ADM, resourceful by nature.